that you'd draw us close to yourself. You would change us, Lord, that we would be more inspired and committed and excited about doing your will in this world. And Lord, I pray our mind would always be to bring glory to your name. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We continue on in our study of the apostles. And, you know, anytime you have a bunch of guys together and they're all kind of following somebody, everybody wants to have the most influence. I mean, there's a human tendency to want to have more influence than anyone else, to want to go to the top. And a lot of times that can be done in the wrong way. We know what it's like to have selfish ambition. Now, it's okay to want to be the very best at what you do. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But when you have that selfish ambition, that a lot of times makes you want to put yourself in a place where you don't belong. And that selfish ambition, as far as a group dynamics goes, it will bring division. And so what do you do when, you know, you have people that want to really give it all they've got? And, you know, you have people wanting that, they have that selfish ambition. Well, Jesus is going to have to confront this issue with his disciples, his 12 apostles. And he's going to let them know, if you really want to go up, you've got to be willing to go down. If you really want to be lifted high, you've got to be willing to go low. So if you have your Bibles, if you will turn with me to Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read verses 20 through 28. Now, Jesus is headed to Jerusalem. It's his final journey to Jerusalem. He is going there to die. As a matter of fact, he has told his disciples now on three occasions that he will go to Jerusalem and he is going to die. Now, all they know is he's, you know, raised people from the dead. He has healed the sick. He's made the lame walk, the deaf hear, the blind to see. And he's done all these incredible things. And this teaching he's taught like no man's ever taught before. He teaches as one who has authority, not as somebody who has to refer to somebody else. And so they're like, okay, you know, he says he's going to die, but it's really not sinking in. They've really not let it sink in. They've really not totally comprehend all that Jesus has come to earth to do. And so they're going to Jerusalem. And on the way, we know from Mark 9, 33 and 34 that they've argued about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. So they're already vying for position. Jesus has let them know, I'm going to go to Jerusalem and die. And they're like, okay, which one of us is going to be the top guy in the kingdom? Who's going to be on his right hand and left hand? Who's going to have the positions of power and prominence and influence? And so we're going to see how they also, at this point, get one of their moms involved in the asking. So look in verse 20. It says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? She said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and one on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They said to him, we are able. Now her sons were James and John. They're also involved in the asking. And so it says in verse 23, so he said to them, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself, and he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles, they lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. So here's Jesus with his disciples. They're going to Jerusalem. They're on that final journey, that final walk to Jerusalem. The disciples have argued who's going to be the greatest. I mean, Jesus has already kind of confronted them with it in Mark chapter 9. And now here are James and John. They're wanting to be the top dogs in the kingdom. And as a matter of fact, Jesus has said in Matthew 19, 28 that when he comes in his glory, that these apostles would sit on 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So they were already promised, you know, you're going to have, you know, an exalted position in the kingdom. So they already knew that, and James and John, along with Peter, had at various times been selected by Jesus for special revelation, additional teaching, like when they went to the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw him transfigured up on that mountain. Just Peter, James, and John had experienced that. So you can imagine James and John thinking, okay, you know, there's only a right hand and a left hand, doesn't have three hands, and us two brothers, we have a good chance. And so they kind of cut Peter out of it. Now also, their mom, Salome, many believe was the sister of Mary, the mother of Jesus. So that would make their mom Jesus' aunt, thus making them Jesus' first cousins. And so they're trying to leverage all this stuff, experiences, family connections, they're trying to leverage all this in order to get the two top places in the kingdom, and they even get their mom, Jesus' aunt, to do the asking. And so they're beating everybody else to the punch. And they're using their mom in the process. They have this selfish ambition. And the selfish ambition is making them want to put themselves in a position that they really don't belong. Because they ask, the mom asks, and Jesus says, are you able to be baptized with what I'm going to be baptized with? Drink the cup that I'm going to be having to drink? Now that he's talking about his coming suffering. And they really don't know exactly all that he's talking about, but they're like, oh, yeah, we're following you, so you know we're going to follow you through this stuff. And he says, yeah, you will experience, but it's going to be to a lesser degree. They would experience suffering and pain. Matter of fact, James eventually will be beheaded. He'll be put to death in Acts chapter 13. And John would suffer beatings and imprisonment, and eventually he would be exiled in his later years to the Isle of Patmos. So they would suffer. But look at what Jesus says. He says, this is going to happen to you. He says, but to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it's for those whom it is prepared by my Father. In other words, you don't know what you're asking. And, you know, those two positions, they're for who my Father says are for. You really shouldn't have asked for this. That's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? You're asking for something, it's not yours to ask for. The Father's going to give that to whom he deems he's going to give it to. So they've asked for something, they got a selfish ambition, because they have this selfish ambition, they've put themselves in a position, or they try to put themselves in a position to attain a place that wasn't theirs to attain, that wasn't theirs to get. And they did it in front of everybody. Now, selfish ambition will make you pursue something or want to put yourself in a place where you don't belong or get a position that's not yours to have. It's like going to somebody else's birthday party and trying to open their presents. And somebody says, I don't think that's for you. That's for somebody else. A selfish ambition will make you think that everything's for you. Oh, no. This, I'm praying about what I want, what I need, just about me. Everything's for me. And puts you in that position where you're trying to ask for things that are really going to belong to someone else. And that's not a good place to be. Now, let me read you something from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 25, verses 6 and 7. It says, do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king, and do not stand in the place of the great. For it is better that he say to you, come up here, than that you should be put lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. In other words, king has a banquet, and there's that head table, and you go up and you sit up at that head table, and somebody comes up to you and says, you know what, that's not your place. You're not supposed to be up at the head table. You got to go sit down there. Hey, you're supposed to be up here. And so now you've been embarrassed. You've exalted yourself. You've promoted yourself. And the Bible says, you know, that before, that pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. And so you put yourself in a prideful position, and then you get humbled in front of everybody. What these two disciples were doing, James and John, is they put themselves in a position, we're going to go big, and they got shot down. Don't put yourself in the place of the great. You let it be where somebody says, oh, no, you're supposed to be up here. You don't be the person that they say, you know what? You're not supposed to be up here. You're supposed to be down there. That'll be humbling. James and John, they, along with their mom, they went big. And they got shot down. Now, look what Jesus says. Or look what happens when the other ten hear it. Verse 24 says, when the ten hear it, they're greatly displeased with the two brothers. And Jesus called them to himself, and he says, you know that the rulers of the Gentile, they lord it over the others, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. So all of a sudden, this selfish ambition just kind of blows the whole group dynamic apart. Because now the ten are mad at the two. They're really kind of mad because the two beat them to the punch. Because they've all been arguing about who's going to be the greatest. And they're upset. And Jesus calls them together and said, look, you know what it's like with the Gentiles? You know how they lord it over you and they try to get as many people as they possibly can to serve them? It's all about power and getting others to serve you. You know what that feels like to be the one on the bottom? It ought not to be that way with y'all. This is not the way that my kingdom's going to function. This is not the way that my kingdom is going to operate. Now, in the Bible, you know, when there's that rivalry and that selfish ambition, it does create dissension and it brings confusion and it brings division. You think about even the first family. Cain was jealous of Abel. Abel's sacrifice was accepted, and Cain's what? Man, that jealousy led to murder. You think about the New Testament, even with the church at Corinth, you had the division, the different people in these groups to have the most power in that church. I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. You know, they just had all these divisions. They were all trying to have the most influence. And that church was not the least bit together. You go to 3 John chapter 9, there's a guy named Diotrephes. And John writes that, you know about Diotrephes, he always likes to have preeminence. And he's bringing division within that church. Why? Because he always wanted to be in the top position. And that's what it was all about for Diotrephes. And it brought division, confusion, dissension. And Jesus is letting his disciples know that selfish ambition, that's not the way it's supposed to operate. That's not the way it's supposed to be my kingdom. That's the way the Gentiles, the people who don't have a clue about God, that's how they operate. It's you step on who's ever back, you need to step on to get to where you need to be. He said, that's not how we're going to do business. That's not how we're going to get things done. It's not going to be, matter of fact, you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. So if you got selfish ambition about yourself, you don't need to act on it. You need to get your motives right. And we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. But when everybody wants to be the top dog and you'll do whatever you can to get to where you need to be, if you'll sacrifice godly principles and righteous behavior to get to where you want to be, you're not going to be where you need to be. You're not doing it the right way. See, if you can, as a believer, to live for the glory of God, if you remember the why, then that will impact the how. The why I'm doing it impacts how I do it. Alexander the Great obviously was one of the greatest people that ever lived. Otherwise, he wouldn't have the moniker the Great, you know. He wasn't the so-so. He was the Great, Alexander the Great. 13 years, he built an empire that went all the way from Greece to modern-day Pakistan, over 2 million square miles. He had incredible administrative skills, military strategy, always, you know, outnumbered, yet he had the strategy that just got the job done. And, you know, he just expanded that empire. 32 years of age, he's on his deathbed in Babylon. He's dying. His generals gather around. They say, who are you going to leave this to? Who's going to take your place? Who's going to be your successor? Who's going to do it? Who are you going to leave all this to? And it was purported that he just made the comment, to the strongest. To the strongest. And so his four top generals, they just divided it all up. There was war, conflict, and years later there'd be eventual defeat and no more Greek empire. The division brought conflict and eventual defeat. Now, if you have a spirit of rivalry, if you have selfish ambition, that is not a good motivator. Matter of fact, as I said, Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. Jesus tells his disciples, that's not the way we're going to get this done. It's not. Matter of fact, look at the advice that he gives them. This is how we're going to do things. He says, yet it shall not be so among you. Verse 26, whoever desires to become great, let him become your servant. Whoever wants to be first, let him become your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but the servant give his life a ransom for many. He said, if you really have the aspirations to be great, you really want to be the best, you want to be the greatest, you've got to learn to be a servant. Now, believe me, they knew what servants were in that day. There are tons of them. They knew what slaves were in that day, tons of them. He said, if you really want to be great, you need to learn to be a servant. Now, someone has said that a servant was someone who furthered the interests of someone else at their own expense or their own sacrifice. He said, if you want to be great, be a servant. If you want to be first, learn to be a slave. You got to learn this stuff. A slave, now they knew that was a different word. That was the lowest of the low. That was somebody that did something no one else wanted to do. Jesus said, that's the pathway to greatness. Being a servant. That's the pathway. As a matter of fact, Jesus would give his life, the ransom, the payment for our salvation. He says in John 15:13, no greater love has any man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. Let me read something to you from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Christ left the glory of heaven, took upon himself human flesh, and in that human flesh he gave his life in service of others, and eventually a sacrificial death for our salvation. In John chapter 3, on the night that Jesus is betrayed, he's with his disciples in an upper room, and you remember, he takes that basin of water and he goes around and he washes his disciples' feet, and that's something that only the lowest of the lowest slaves would do. Yet he did it. He washed Judas's feet, the guy that would betray him. He served Judas, knowing that Judas would betray him. You have a problem serving somebody because of the way they act towards you? Jesus served Judas, and he knew Judas would betray him. He served Peter, washed Peter's feet, even when Peter resisted. He washed his feet, and Peter was the one that would deny three times that very night that he knew Jesus. He washed the other disciples' feet, knowing that they would forsake him that night. He served those who would betray him, forsake him, and abandon him. He served them. And then when he got through, he said, I've given you an example that you should do to others as I have done to you. You should do to one another what I've done for you. You should serve. That's what he said. If you really, really, really want to be great, you've got to be willing to serve others. You've got to be willing to do what no one else wants to do. Matter of fact, and you need to do it with everything you got. The Bible says in Colossians 3:23-24, whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord and not to man, knowing that from the Lord you shall receive the reward. The Lord will reward you, but you do whatever you do with all you've got. That means being the very best you can be, whatever it is. If you're a businessman, you do the very best you can, stick to godly principles, righteous behavior, you be the very best you possibly can be. Do it with all you got. As unto the Lord, not to man, knowing that from the Lord, you will receive your reward. You will receive your reward. Now, sometimes we think, if I serve others, I will never get ahead. If I serve someone that's going to betray me or forsake me or abandon me, man, what's that going to do for me? Psalm 75, 6 and 7 says this. For exaltation comes neither from the east nor from the west, nor does it come from the south. But God is judge. He puts one down and he exalts another. God's the one that puts somebody down and he's the one that exalts another. As a matter of fact, the Philippians 2 passage that we just read about Christ humbling himself and dying on the cross. If you continue reading that, it says, wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, those in heaven, of those on the earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's exaltation. That's taking the form of a servant and giving it what you got, serving others, but then God's the one that's in charge of lifting someone up. That's what the Bible says in Proverbs, before honor is humility. Something always before honor is humility. So you learn to be a servant, you learn humility. And when God's ready, God does what God's going to do. But that exaltation does not come anywhere else but from the Lord. And it comes in the right way. William Barclay, when he comments on this passage in Matthew, he writes about a Roman coin that was found, and on that coin there's a picture of an ox, and the ox is standing between an altar and a plow, and the inscription reads, ready for either. So the ox would be willing for his body to be given as an ultimate sacrifice on that altar, or be willing to be hitched to that plow and give his best in service to the farmer. And that's how we should be for God. Lord, I'm willing to sacrifice whatever I need to sacrifice. I'm willing to work hard however I need to work, Lord. But whatever it is, be it sacrifice or hard work, I'm going to give it all I got. See, Jesus says, that is the pathway to true greatness. If you want to go up, you got to be willing to step down. And you serve others just like Christ did. Now, I want to ask you, we all have reasons why we shouldn't serve people in our lives. I know we do because I live with people. I'm around people. You live with people. You're around people. And you can say, well, I don't need to serve this person, that person, this person, because these people are stabbing me in the back. Some are stabbing me in the face. This person's already, you know, betrayed me before. I know these folks won't stand with me. Jesus said, I've given you an example that you should do to others, to one another, as I've done to you. So we have people in our lives who say, well, if I serve others, they may treat me like a servant. Okay. That's kind of what that is, right? But exaltation comes from the Lord. And before honor is humility. There's nothing wrong with being a servant of serving others. Matter of fact, Jesus says, those are the ones that are great in the kingdom. And if we're to seek first the kingdom of God, if Jesus says, seek first, you want to be great in the kingdom? Yeah. Whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord, knowing that you know you're going to receive your reward from the Lord. You do it with all you've got. You be willing to be a servant. Do what if something needs to be done, no one else is doing it, you do it. You serve others. And you don't do it. Have you ever had somebody serve you with a bad attitude? Isn't that wonderful? And then they tell you what they've done for you. Well, they have their reward. That's it. It's over. You do what you do heartily as unto the Lord. This is like me serving the Lord. Me serving that person. Lord, you tell me to do it, and you tell me to do it as though I'm serving you. I'm going to serve that person just like I'm serving you, Lord. I'm going to perform this deed just like I'm doing it for you, Lord, because I am. And it gets from your hands to your heart. And you realize, okay, that's how you're great in God's kingdom. Now I want to challenge you this week to be a servant. That doesn't mean when you go home and you say, hey, y'all, I want to help y'all grow spiritually. I want y'all to serve me. I want to help you spiritually. That doesn't mean that. It means you be a servant. Because if you really want to be great, it's not by getting other people to serve you. It's by serving others. Jesus, of anybody, should have been served when he came to this earth. Yet he served others. And he gave himself as a sacrifice for our sins. I want to encourage each one of us, myself included, all of us, to seek to be a servant and seek to be great in the kingdom of God through that route. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the example that Jesus gave us. Being a servant, doing what no one else wanted to do. And Lord, I know that we may have some here today that feels like they've been a servant and they've been underappreciated. And maybe they just need to be reminded of why they do what they do. And Lord, I pray that you would just give them joy and delight in serving others. But Lord, we know that, you know, if we do our best, just give it all we got for you, that your word says before honor is humility. And it might be that some are learning humility for you to put them in a position of honor. And so, Lord, just help us to see life from your perspective. Help us to want to be great in your kingdom. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me just say this.